Hallelujah. God bless you, brethren. You are hearing from Pastor Albert Matimbe from Zimbabwe. I want to greet you all in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are grateful for his mercies. We are grateful for his love that he gives us spiritual food in due season. As we move on with our subject, the theme, the harvest and the laborers, we thank God that he is actually inspiring us to dig deep into this subject. In the previous presentation, we looked at Proverbs 10, verse 5, where King Solomon indicts people who sleep during the harvest time. There are people of such nature, people who are not concerned, people who don't mind. Yes. That person who sleeps during the time of harvest is a disgrace. Yes. He causes shame. Or she causes shame. Early on, in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6, which we can go to and hear what King Solomon said in advising those people who are good at sleeping, when they are not supposed to. People who should be awakened. People who should be conscientized that there is need to work, to go on work. Proverbs 6 verse 6 says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which in having no guide, overseer or ruler, provided the meat in the summer and gathered their food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. You see? This is a good example that when we as laborers, we don't need to be pushed. We must have self-esteem. We must be responsible. We should work even under minimum supervision. In fact, we should be able to do the work out of self-will, great desire, passion to do the work. The ant is no overseer. The ant has no guide or ruler over them, but they do great work. So in this context, us as laborers in the field, we should take example of the ants, that they do a great work, which means we have to sacrifice ourselves. A lot of sacrifice if you are a laborer, if you are to be counted. You have to sacrifice. Brethren, Psalm 69, verse 9, David clearly records. He said, for the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Yes. He was concerned, so concerned about the house of the Lord. David was so concerned about the work of the Lord until he had to record it, to put it down, to say, for the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. He said, you should be concerned of the work of God. You should concentrate on the work of the Lord. And the Lord is happy about that. And you know, Apostle Paul, in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 11, he says, not being slothful in business, but being fervent in spirit and serving the Lord. This is what Apostle Paul said, supporting what King Solomon said, supporting what King David said. Yes. And now, today, brethren, let's continue and look at Acts chapter 13, the book of Acts chapter 13, where there was a church at Antioch, and that church at Antioch was a spiritual church, and people there were spiritual believers who were prayerful. People would go on fasting for the work, and God spoke to that church. And I can tell you, if you are a prayerful person, if you are a person who goes on fasting, the Lord speaks to you. The Holy Spirit communicate with you. Let's hear what the Bible says here. Now, Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the tetrarch, and so. As they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also joined to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, Oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. See what it is. Looking at this scripture, we see that the Holy Spirit spoke to the church and picked the apostles, Paul and Barnabas, and sent them forth into the mission field to do the work as laborers. However, when they went into the mission field, they found some people who withstood them, some people who stood to inconvenience them. And you as a laborer, you as a minister, you should expect that. You should expect that there are some people who can stand on the way, who can try to inconvenience you, who can try to withstand you. Like these ones who stood on the way. But Jesus was one of them. Elymas, the sorcerer, was one of them. And you know, the word of God, the spirit of God, does not only send us to simple people. Even the royal families, the highly profiled people, the word, the spirit does not select. It can send us to any place, even to the state house, even to any person in the society. Like this man who was the deputy of the country, Paul Sergius. Yes. Paul and Barnabas were sent. And you should be prepared. And don't worry of what we are going to say. You must have confidence. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one in the world. You should realize, don't belittle yourself if you are a minister of the gospel. Don't belittle yourself. Don't look down upon yourself. You should bear in mind that it is not the size of the dog that fights. No. It is the size of the fight in that dog. And believe me, the Bible says, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. So when you are going with the word of God, have confidence. I'm reminded that in 2002, when I was traveling from East Africa back to Zimbabwe aboard British Airways, it so happened that I boarded the same plane with the former head of state of Zambia, the late Dr. Kenneth Kaunda. And I recognized him in the plane. And of course, After recognizing him, I came close to him and made some remarks, appreciating him for the work they did. And these were my words, that you as fathers of Organization of African Unity, you changed the course of history of Africa. You brought freedom to Africa. And by saying those words, this man was in cloud 11. He smiled at me and he asked me, where do you come from? Who are you? And I explained who I was and where I was coming from. And that man embraced the faith that I had, to the extent that I had some literature books, spoken word books that I gave him, I shared with him, and he was very happy to receive the books. And I can tell you, brothers, this is one of the statesmen around the world who gave a salute on me. He appreciated me very well for having shared with him the gospel. So, you know, when Paul and Barnabas reached this deputy of that country, this man must try to withstand them. And what happened? When you are a gospel minister, you have the authority. You can create a new world. You can put an order. And you know what happened? Paul indicted this animus. He told him in the verse that you are a son of subtlety, very mischief, child of the devil. You are the enemy of righteousness. Why do you have to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And he told him there and then that he would come blind. Instantly, that man became blind. And brothers and sisters, ministers of the gospel, we have the authority. Realize that you have what? You have the authority wherever you are going. You carry the weight of command. So you shouldn't worry. You shouldn't fear anyone. Now, looking at this subject or this scripture that we talked about in Acts chapter 30, the apostles, these two apostles, were sent into the mission field. And this now brings us to look at missiology, which is the start of mission work. How do we observe? How do we start this work, this which was done by the apostles? And for you to know, to be able to do the right thing, you should look at how the people in the past did it. Otherwise, you fall to the same mistakes that were done by history. In order for you to correct your future, in order for you to correct your present, you must look at the past. History tells you what happened and it helps you to shape your future. Now, looking at missiology on its own, it is the start of the mission work, focusing on spreading Christianity and understanding cultural context. Yes, sir. And you know, missiology, it combines theology. And what is theology? It is the study of God and divine things and religious beliefs. Missiology also combines what they term anthropology, which is the study of humans, their behavior in societies, past and present. And of course, when you are a preacher man, of course, when you are a minister of the gospel, you must understand the strategy. The strategy to share the gospel effectively. You should know that. You should understand that. Besides that, you cannot do the work of God effectively. So, starting at the missiology, which is the discipline which focuses on the start of Christian mission in its many dimensions. Yes. And you know, people sometimes wonder what mission is all about, or the mission of God. The Latin describes mission of God as Missio Dei, which is the mission of God. And you know, the mission of God consists of the work which we should do. We should be doing the work of God. The way the Spirit sent Paul and Barnabas to the mission field. My. And if we want to define what mission is all about, it is the total task which God has set the church for the salvation of the world. That is the mission. Yes, sir. It is the task of the church in movement, the church that lives for others. Yes. So, you know, when the Holy Spirit sends or to send the apostles, I mean, it looked at the church as a living organism, a church that moves. Amen. And it is the task of the church in movement, the church that lives for others. And Christianity is living for others. You sacrifice to go with the gospel to other people who are in need. Yes, sir. And the task involves the crossing of frontiers. When you are considered as a missionary, you cross frontiers. Yes, sir. Frontiers of any sort, be they cultural, be it geographical, be they linguistic, be it religious or ideological, social, ethnic, name them all, in order to reach others for Christ. Yes, sir. Yes. And that is what is to be understood. If you are to be an effective missionary, an effective laborer, an effective co-worker of the living God. You see, this is what we have to understand. We have to also understand that as we move on with the gospel across geographical boundaries, we should bear in mind that as we do that, we are putting something right. We are putting right something which went wrong, something which has gone wrong, and which is it that we are concerned about or observing as something that went wrong. Through see, something went wrong in the vertical relationship between human beings and God. Yes, sir. And this gives rise to the need of evangelism. And as laborers, we should embark on evangelism, effective evangelism. Why? Because something has gone wrong in the horizontal relationship between human beings. Of course, resulting, for example, in the rich getting richer and at the expense of poor. And these poor people are getting poorer. That's why we as Christians, we don't discriminate people on the basis of how materially one is worthy. We are the same, rich or poor. We are regarded as children of the living God. Yes, sir. And brethren, the apostles were sent into the mission field to bring justice and to make sure that we treat each other equally, with one accord, with one spirit, bearing one another's problems. And in that context, we are regarded as true servants of the living God. So as we are going on with this theme and subject of harvest and laborers, we should bear this in mind. Yes, sir.
that we are sent into the field to bring salvation and the kingdom of God. We should know this point, that the kingdom of God brings about salvation. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And once we achieve that, we are regarded as true laborers. May God bless you as we meet in the next service. Amen.